right, good friends, welcome back. This is hour number two of INN World Report Radio right here on We the People Radio Network every Sunday night, 8 until 10 p.m. Central Time. And as I mentioned before, good friends, rather than coming to you from New York like we usually do, tonight we are in Denver, Colorado, and everyone's getting into town now for the Democratic Convention, and we intend to cover it. We intend to ask people the questions and get you the information that the networks won't talk about. And in that effort, we are very happy now to have in the second hour Bob Edgar. Bob is the president of the national president, I believe, of Common Cause. We've had some other members, state chapter members, on this program before, but tonight we have the pleasure of dealing with the president himself. Bob, welcome to INN World Report Radio.
It's great to be with you tonight.
Bob, you're coming into Denver yourself. You just got in today. What's Common Cause got lined up here this week in Denver?
Well, we're doing several things. We've got a focus workshop on media and democracy. We're very hopeful that we can convince the new president and the new House and Senate members, both Democratic and Republican, that the media needs to be looked at seriously because of the monopoly that has occurred in television, radio, newspapers. So we're working on media and democracy issues. We're also going to run an ad in the newspapers here on Thursday, the day that Barack Obama accepts the nomination for president. It'll be a full-page ad headed with the words democracy in distress and the flag upside down, which is part of our abuse of power campaign. We're trying to help people realize that over the last 20 years, but particularly over the last 8 years, executive office of the presidency has assumed powers that were not given to them in the Constitution, and the balance of power needs to be restored between the House, the Senate, the White House, and the Supreme Court, as well as we've got to reclaim some of the moral authority of our founding fathers and mothers. They never intended us to do preemptive war or hold prisoners hostage in a prison camp in Cuba or do secret prisons. And we've been appalled at what has happened in the Justice Department. So we're asking Democrats, Republicans, Independents to help us do something similar to a Truth and Reconciliation Commission as we move forward in the next 4 years, to really look at what went wrong over the last period of time that led us to not only a war that we got ourselves into, but also some other actions, signing statements, and other abuses that we hope will not be repeated in future administrations. We're calling upon our friends of Common Cause and many people across the country to take a pledge to reclaim the flag and to restore the Constitution, and to take this pledge to all of the candidates running in both the House and Senate and state houses as well, and get those candidates to a pledge to restore democracy.
Wow, that was quite a lineup of topics, and I want to get back to the one you led off with in just a moment about the press and the need for the government to take a look at how badly that's gone awry. But before I do that, Bob, why don't we go back to the origins of Common Cause? When you talk about an imperial presidency, for instance, when you talk about executive branch overreaching and going into our lives in ways that it was not intended to do, it goes back, of course, to the Watergate era and the things that Richard Nixon did, which, as I'm told, inspired the creation of Common Cause, seem almost passé, don't they, compared to the kinds of things that are going on? But isn't that how Common Cause got started in reaction to that, as a bipartisan response to executive branch overreaching?
Absolutely. Some of your listeners may want to go back and read some of the books written by John Gardner, the founder of Common Cause. John was a moderate Republican, joined by a number of Republicans and Democrats who were traumatized by the Vietnam War, traumatized by the bombings and the burning of cities that were taking place in the 60s. but even more traumatized by the corruption that occurred in the early 70s. So 38 years ago, Common Cause was formed to be the people's lobby. And for the first 20 or 22 years, Common Cause was at the forefront of reform issues, very well known by people across the country, several hundred thousand members and friends. Over the last few years, we've been active in states like Colorado and California and New York and Pennsylvania, working at the state level. And we've been doing some good work on ethics and lobbying reform inside the Washington Beltway. But we drifted for a while. And a year ago, I left being General Secretary of the National Council of Churches and came over to be the president of Common Cause to restore Common Cause to its original vision and mission as outlined by John Gardner. And one thing you might be interested in, as you know, I was elected to the United States Congress in November of 1974, just a year after looking the word Democratic up in the telephone book. I got elected because of the firing of Archibald Cox, the special prosecutor that was looking into Watergate. And if you look at the issues of 1974 that elected the Watergate baby class that I was in, you'll discover there's a parallel to 2008. For example, there was an energy crisis back in 74 where we were lining up at our gas stations. There was a war in 73, 74 between Israel and Egypt and the Middle East, so there was trauma there. There was corruption in terms of Watergate. And if you look now, we've got an energy crisis. We've got corruption with Abramoff and DeLay and other scandals that have occurred on in both Democratic and Republican side. And I think people are out there looking for change, looking for hope, looking for a new day. Frank Rich in the New York Times today was reflecting on it, and he commented, I think, over the last couple days on Barack Obama's theme of change, and he suggested a new variation of it that says, change before it's too late. And that's really the power behind our abuse of power campaign and some of the other work that Common Cause does to reform government. We think that we've got to make significant changes in our system before it's too late.
Well, you know, you talked about parallels between this time and the Watergate era. However, there's some very distinct things that are the opposite, okay? For instance, you mentioned Mr. Gardner, a moderate Republican. During the Watergate era, it worked because both Democrats and Republicans were outraged, and they came together and joined together and stood up to defend the Constitution. Now we have this – not only is it a polar issue with, the, with partisanship, you've got – practically no Republicans coming forward, and the Democrats are sitting on their hands as if it's they're not allowed to you know, look into matters. Nancy Pelosi, for instance, puts impeachment off the table before she even looks into the facts of the matter. Okay, so that's a distinct difference. Number one, number two,
I think,
media. Right.
Well,
I was going to say
I think you're right. I think you're right in terms of the politicians. But where I think I'm right in terms of the parallel is that it wasn't necessarily the average ordinary politician back in the early 70s that changed things. It was average ordinary Democrats and Republicans who said Nixon went too far with John Dean and Ehrlichman and Haldeman. The war in Vietnam needed to come to an end. And it was average ordinary citizens that stepped forward and elected Tim Worth from Colorado, Paul Simon from Illinois, Paul Tsongas from Massachusetts, Bob Edgar from Pennsylvania. It was that Watergate baby class was largely elected by people. For example, in my district, it was the most Republican district in the nation, 210,000 Republicans, 90,000 Democrats, and yet I, as a chaplain at a university with no political experience, age 31, stepped forward in one election and got reelected five additional times. So I think what I'm thinking of in terms of the parallel is not the Nancy Pelosi's or the Democrats that have not shown the courage that we would hope that they would show, but I think Obama is riding a wave that wasn't created by Obama. It wasn't created by McCain. It was created by average ordinary citizens who, I believe, think the Constitution is in danger. And in 2006, they began to tone it back to the middle. And I think in 2008, they're saying to both the Democrats and Republicans, get your house in order. And I think the reason that Obama rose to the top of that wave and caught the energy of it was predominantly because he was talking about significant change and hope. And he's not going to succeed if he doesn't stay on that track. Even McCain, I think, has to realize that it's the good government Republicans that have been frozen out of the system for many years. When I was in Congress back in the 70s and 80s, the only binding vote was on Speaker of the House. It has moved to such a degree that's so partisan on both sides that I think the average ordinary citizens are angry, frustrated, want to see change, and want to see Democrats and Republicans work together to solve the health care crisis, to solve the global warming crisis, to restore our image in international policy. So that's the parallel I'm talking about. But I think you're right that there is that slight difference that the political forces in power in both political parties seem to think it's business as usual. We see that with all the money that has flown in from lobbyists and corporations and special interests. And
well, you know what, Bob, I'd like to chime in. Listen, I think that it's worse than business as usual because, another difference is the media as well. At least we had a media that got to the bottom of things and tried. You know, you had Woodward and Bernstein. All right, let's say Woodward's not what he used to be. But, I think that the powers that be recognize that as a problem, and they set about defanging the media, and that's exactly what's happened. The corporate media isn't worth a hoot, if you ask me anymore. That's why we're in the alternative media. That's why we've created it, to get the truth out there, to get these issues talked about. And you talked about
goodness.
It.
We can
use a little help too. You know, praise the Lord, but pass the ammunition. You know, we could talk about that later on. But listen, you know,
thank goodness for the alternative media, because I think. If it were not for the internet and for some of you guys in the alternative media, corporate interests would control the outcome. So you're right in that respect. It was different back in the 70s in terms of getting media attention. But I have to say, it's also we got to find a way not only to diversify our media, but get the cost of running for public office back to a reasonable level. Otherwise, average ordinary people will not step forward to run for public office.
We had laws in this country, right, Bob, that were sought to protect the centralization of media in a market, that sought to prevent an individual or a corporation to own all of the newspapers and the radio outlets and all. As I understand it, that legislation was drawn up as a reaction to the fascism that rose up in Europe in the 30s, that they learned a lesson about media, and that when you make everything one voice, the bad guys can control the agenda and control what's being discussed. And that was all done away with under Bill Clinton, right? When they got rid of the fair use law? Or
the fairness doctrine.
Fairness doctrine, right.
Yeah, I think both parties and the leaders that we've had over the last 20 years have both failed to help us keep a strong public airways and public media. And I think we have gone in the wrong direction over that time. I think we've got to restore the Federal Communications Commission. I think we've got to diversify the holdings of media and reverse the trend that we've seen over the last many years. And frankly, we've got to confront both Democrats and Republicans who are taking lobbyist money from the very media that wants to control the operations. We have a group called ProPublica that was just formed by a wealthy donor who realized that all the newspapers' investigative reporters were all being fired and newspapers were turning into simply entertainment pieces and not investigative reporting. We see that on television and radio, the amount of money that's being spent to really do hardcore investigation has shrunk. So there's a lot of work to be done, and it's important for us to say the emperor has no clothes on this issue. That's why we're holding the workshop here in Denver to remind people that democracy is in trouble if the media is not diverse and independent.
You know, you bring up a great point. One of the greatest investigative journalists of my time, Robert Perry, who's credited with uncovering the Contra part of the Iran-Contra scandal, great person, and an inspiration for this program, our television program. My first guest on our talk show here, INN War Report Radio, as a result. You know, the man did such a great job. Now he can't find a job in the media because he was telling the truth. And, you know, he's got his own...
There's sort of a new McCarthyism in place, and people are being blackballed in the media.
It's terrible. It's horrible. Well, listen, Bob, this is great, and we're going to be going on break here in just a moment. I'd like you to continue with us on the other side of the break. We're going to talk a little bit more about what you got planned here in Denver. And also, good friends, we're going to have Bob here in the studio in Denver this week as well. So he's going to be on the television side of INN World Report as well later on in the week. And then perhaps we can take some calls as well, Bob. If you'd like to speak with Bob Edgar, we'll be taking calls a little bit later.
We the People Radio Network. Educational. Inspirational. Constitutional. You're listening to We the People Radio Network.
All right, good friends, welcome back, and we're coming to you from Denver, Colorado, site of the Democratic National Convention, where, by the way, we had a little tornado touchdown out of town just about an hour and a half ago or so. So it looks like things are really dusting up out here, pardon the pun. Hopefully that's all that remains is just that. And in any case, we're speaking with the president of Common Cause, Bob Edgar. And Common Cause is out here, good friends, you know, raising issues that concern all of us, media and democracy, for instance, and their pledge, their Take Back the Flag initiative that we had on this program a few weeks back with Susan Lerner, the New York director. Bob, more specifically, you've got here in Denver, if people are listening to the broadcast in the Denver area, you can come down and see some programs that Common Cause is putting up in the next week?
Yeah, that's right. We're going to be working. There's a whole group of progressive issues that are going to be dealt with at Central Presbyterian Church here. Sort of an alternative convention is going on by people who want to focus on issues. I'm going to have a chance to introduce at one of the events this week, Commissioner Edelman, who's one of the two members of the Federal Communication Commission that understands that we've got to redo our whole way of thinking about the public airways and media and trying to reverse some of the policies of the last 15, 20 years of consolidation in the media. There will also be conversations about quality health care. I know that a group called Families USA is going to run some television ads here in the city to remind people that health care is important, and this is our opportunity to try to get health care for everyone. There are 9 million children who have no health care and 47 million Americans who are outside the health care network. And we're also going to put a full-page ad in the local newspaper here in Denver to remind the Democrats that there's been a real challenge to democracy over the last few years, and there's clearly been abuse of power, and we as average ordinary citizens want to hold power accountable. And Common Cause, the organization that I'm a part of, has two projects. One is to get the election process straight this year, but secondly, to get a fresh start for democracy so that the people elected serve the public interest and not the special interest. We need to get some money out of politics and limit the role of lobbyists. And to do that, we need average ordinary people to step forward and to hold both political parties accountable.
You know, you mentioned, was it Frank Rich in the Times? You made a column about Obama's change initiative. And maybe it should be called Change Before It's Too Late. You know, that's a very interesting insight because it is like a seesaw, right? It is a slippery slope. There is a point that a society can go where it's beyond the point of return when it comes to freedoms. I mean, we all have this illusion in our head since we live in such the first modern or the first democracy in the modern era, and people seem to think that this is something that it's part of nature, it's immutable, you know, it's going to be there forever. But that's not the case, is it? Democracies don't last very long historically unless people are engaged and are on guard all the time. No,
that's exactly right. I'm a student of Dr. Martin Luther King. I met Dr. King 5 weeks before he was assassinated, and I served as one of the 12 members of the Select Committee on Assassinations in the late 70s, looking into Dr. King's death, and one of the few people who's actually interviewed James Earl Ray, the assassin. I like the dreamer better. Dr. King said, "We're now faced with the fact that tomorrow is today. In this unfolding conundrum of life and history, there's such a thing as being too late. Procrastination is still the thief of time." Dr. King realized that there was an urgency of now, and I've been vaccinated by that urgency. In fact, if you take issues like global warming, I often tell audiences that we're 10 years past the tipping point on that issue, and there are issues that people think, well, we have plenty of time to deal with. Frankly, the world is changing so rapidly that the sense of urgency has to be reinvigorated into average ordinary citizens, because the issues are important, they're current, our reputation around the world has suffered, and it's time for Americans to reclaim what, through pain, through war, through tragedy, our founding fathers and mothers led us to a nation that was respecting human rights and civil rights and people's rights. And many of us who fought through the 60s are quite appalled at seeing a Justice Department that has been politicized and a Defense Department that has been skewed in the wrong direction. So these are the days when we really have to take back power, and Common Cause is a piece of that, but other organizations are also desperately needed. In the 1970s, when John Gardner founded Common Cause, we were all joining movements. We were joining organizations like Bread for the World and Sierra Club and this organization, League of Women Voters, and others. Today, people are joining movements, and we need to all be working to cultivate the good government movement. And the independent media is helpful to that. But organizations also need to be helpful in reminding people that we are all part of that movement to get government to work.
Well, the town square, you know, discourse in the town square has been shut down. And if you ask me, it's been done so by design. So there's a new movement that I urge you to keep in your mind and in your prayers and in your talks with people, and that's the alternative media movement. And we feel that it's so important that the dialogue and the discussion is an open one. May the best ideas win and not be shut out, not be shut down, and ideas that are instead favored by elites who stand to make a great deal of money, despite no matter the cost, whether it's to our environment or anything else. So that's another movement that that we want to keep in the forefront. You know, you mentioned James Earl Ray. Are you familiar with the attorney William Pepper?
I'm not.
Yeah, he was. I think he defended James Earl. He was on the program as well.
I know of him, but I've not talked to him personally.
He was on the. He's a very, very interesting man, very knowledgeable. His latest effort, by the way, was here in New York City. Well, I'm in Denver tonight, but in New York City, he helped to put together a ballot initiative, a petition for a ballot initiative for a citizens investigation into 9/11 and a citizens empowered panel. We apparently had that law in New York City where we can do that. We can get it on the ballot, and I believe they have enough signatures to put it in front of the. the city to get it on the ballot in November. Anyhow, that's William Pepper was on our program. Listen, we've got some callers lining up. Are you up for some calls? I know you were traveling, but what do you say?
I can handle it.
Very good, very good.
Let's do it.
Lots of vim and vigor. All right, let's go first to Al in South Dakota. Al, welcome tonight to INN World Report Radio. Would you like to speak with Bob Edgar, of Common Cause?
Sure. Say, Bob, I've been listening to you, and I can appreciate most of the things that you say. Two things that I think are very important. One is the fact that we are our money is worthless, and we're paying for today with our children's futures. So when you mentioned the health care issue, in light of what I just said, how do you intend to pay for that universal health care?
Well, what I would do is...
That's a great question, but I just want to point out, friends, we only have 30 seconds before our break, so I'm going to ask you to hold that one, Bob, until the other side of the break, because I'd hate to see you get started, and I'm going to have to jump in like I'm doing right now. In the meanwhile, Al, we'll get to that right on the other side of this break. I also see Seth in Florida. Good friends, if you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 512-646-1984, and we'll be right back after these messages. We're speaking with Bob Edgar from Common Cause here in Denver, Colorado. We'll be right back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
All right, good friends, welcome back. We are in hour number two, and actually we're coming around the home stretch. We're in the second half of that hour, and we're speaking tonight with Bob Edgar, the president of Common Cause nationally, and we're opening up the phone lines now for phone calls, 512-646-1984, if you'd like to join in on the conversation. We've got Seth holding on in Florida, and we're speaking right now with Al in South Dakota. I'm going to just rephrase your question, Al, before the break. I believe you were asking Mr. Edgar, since the government has basically spent the money and charged it on a credit card to our kids in the future, doing things such as providing for health care is only going to run that tab up even greater. You were asking Mr. Edgar's opinion on how that can be paid for in light of the tremendous debt that's been rung up. Is that a fair way to put it, Al?
Right, and also that and the fact that providing a service at the threat of a barrel of a gun, if I don't agree with it or I don't pay the tax for that portion, my life's going to be threatened and my property's going to be taken away to pay for it to give to someone else.
Well, I think we live under that right now.
This is Bob. Let me respond to your comment. We currently have a defense system that's based on a World War II mentality. And I think we need a strong, practical defense system, but we don't need the overkill. If you follow the debate, that part of that debt that we're running up for our children and grandchildren is coming from not only excessive defense spending, but also it's coming from piling on top of that the war in Iraq and some of the other adventures that the nation has been part of. If we really want to go after terrorists, we've got to do several things. One is we've got to recognize it's a police action, not a military action. The British got it right when they found the liquid bombers by a police action. If there's a handful of people in each country that hate the West and hate the United States, you don't really get them by doubling and tripling your nuclear arms or your defense system. So if we were able to recalibrate our defense system and not spend $500 and $600 billion a year on defense activities, we would have the resources to do what is really necessary to continue to make our nation strong. I'm not as afraid of the military terrorists as I am having our healthcare system and our public education system and the quality of life of our nation fall apart. I think the terrorists that went after us on 9/11 are happy that we've become the nation they thought we were. We've actually done what they wanted us to do, and that is to overspend our resources in the wrong direction and diminish the quality of life in our nation. I would also say one other thing on the healthcare issue, and then we'll get to the other questions, and that is we're already paying a great deal for poor and working poor people who have no healthcare. When they get sick, they often go to emergency rooms. They go to the hospital for issues that could be dealt with in a doctor's office or a clinic. And I think we can redo our healthcare network and save a great deal of money and also provide a great deal of healthcare for people. I would urge your listeners to take a look at the website of Families USA, which is one of the major healthcare coalitions, as well as the National Healthcare Coalition. There are a number of options there that would be helpful.
And by dealing with it as a crisis in the emergency room, we're already paying for a great deal of health care in a very expensive sort of a way. So Al, I think you just heard a couple of options there. You know, we're already paying for it in an expensive way and recalibrating the military. Anyhow, did that answer your question?
It sure did. There's one part to be thought about, though, and that is, When a mugger steals your billfold, do you really care what he spends your money on?
Well, I mean, I think you've got that question all along. I mean, you said at the barrel of a gun. There's many of us who don't approve of preemptive wars. This country never stood for that sort of thing. Yet, our tax dollars are going to that. And if I didn't want to pay to that, I would be in big trouble. So, taxes are taxes, and what they get spent on is a whole nother matter. Anyway, listen, Al, always a pleasure to hear from you. Thank you very much.
You bet.
I'm going to move on now to Seth in Florida, but before I do, I'm going to give out the numbers again. Give us a call, 512-646-1984. We're here in Denver, site of the Democratic National Convention, and we're speaking with some leaders here. We're speaking with Common Cause's president, Bob Edgar. Common Cause started in the aftermath of Watergate by a moderate Republican. Boy, is that an endangered species these days, isn't it? A moderate Republican. We had Richard Viguerie on the program a few weeks back, and he was saying that all of these so-called conservative Republicans came to Washington to clean up the swamp, to clean up the sewer. And he said when they got here, they found out, well, wait a minute, it's not so bad. Maybe it's more like a hot tub instead of a swamp, and so he's mad as heck as well. So, in any case, let's go now to Florida. We're going to speak with Seth. Good evening, Seth. How's everything down in Florida? You guys drying out yet from Hurricane Faye?
Yeah. It was my neck of the woods. It wasn't too bad, but it was definitely nice to get a little rain and fill up our aquifers. It was not a drought here, but we could always use more water. So I wasn't upset. It was nice. The weather cooled down. It was a little windy here and there, but really not that bad at all.
That's great. Have you been listening to the program? Do you have a question for Bob Edgar?
Yes, I do. Mr. Edgar, how are you doing?
I'm good.
I tend to agree. I was actually going to ask the same thing the last caller asked about the health care. I mean, you claim to purport to support the Constitution. I don't know where it's written in the Constitution that the government's responsible for providing health care. Now, I don't have as much of a problem with some emergency room, basic safety net. But what Obama and others are proposing is it's like one-fifth of the economy, from what I understand, the cost of health care. And there's just no way I can see the government doing anything good with that if they were to try to control it in any way. And Hillary's talked about garnishing people's wages if they don't pay into it. And it's just a big invasion of privacy as well. So I support free market solutions for things like that and getting the HMOs out of it. People need to start thinking about it more like they do their car insurance, where you don't get everything, for your car. You go to the mechanic every now and then and get certain things fixed. You know what I'm saying? So it shouldn't be a one-size-fits-all, and there's just going to be rationing if they start trying to manage it. I also
I hope you'll do – I hope you'll
hold
do
on. Let Bob respond here.
Sure.
I hope you'll do some reading.
I've done a lot.
Let me just say that, as far as I can see, the healthcare industry, the corporations, the pharmaceutical companies, the medical corporations, have actually shaped the healthcare system so that it's less of a free market system and more of a controlled corporate system.
I agree.
For example, when the Congress passed a senior pharmaceutical bill to give reduced pharmaceuticals to senior citizens, it was written by the corporations. It was given to Congressman Billy Tozen and a number of other House and Senate members in both political parties who were paid for by those special interests in terms of lobbying money. It was passed in the House and Senate, given to the president, and as soon as the president signed the bill, some of the congressmen and their staff who were involved in writing it resigned from Congress, walked across the street, and got $2 and $3 million salaries.
Nice.
Based on the corporation running the system.
Right.
So what I believe is that we do have to have government intervene when corporations and interest groups spend so much financial resources to shape the policy that the public interest is ignored. And I think the public interest is in not having 9 million children without health care. The public interest is in having reasonably priced health care for all and supportive systems for preventive health care.
But the problem
I have an elderly mother.
Rationing health care. If you do that, you're going to ration health care, and the quality is going to go down, not up. Now, it's
Hold on. I'm going to say we're coming up on a break. I'd like to continue this, though, on the other side of the break, because this is good stuff here. We're unearthing a lot of conceptions, perhaps misconceptions as well. And I'd like to point out that, you know, every other major developed country in the world has a much better form of health care as far as the amount of people
with that
get covered.
What Michael Moore tried to show in his sicko was totally false. Cuba has one of the...
Hold on a second. We got a break coming up here. Please stay there, Seth, because I'd like to deal with these issues. Bob, we're going to be right back. We're just taking a short break. Coming down the last segment here, Bob Edgar from Common Cause here on INN World Report Radio. We'll be right back.
Back to the people. You're listening to We the People Radio Network.
All right, good friends, welcome back. We're coming down the home stretch. Last segment tonight, and we're speaking with Bob Edgar. And Bob is the president of Common Cause. We went into the origins of that. It's a very interesting organization. We've got a few more minutes left. If you'd like to call in with a call, 512-646-1984. I didn't mean to cut you two gentlemen off before, but I'm the guy who sees the clock, and it's my job to make sure that we don't get cut off in mid-sentence when the commercials start. So in any case, if I may, also with Seth in Florida there, Seth, you know, In a sense, isn't healthcare a monopoly? When people are faced with sickness
and illness, actually, you're right. It's a monopoly by the AMA. They control the supply of doctors.
Not only that, but it's a monopoly in the sense that you've got no place else to turn, no matter who's dispensing.
That's not true. Walmart, Walgreens, other places are starting to open up clinics in their places, and I applaud efforts like that. You've got to create, just like in anything, you've got to create more supply. Right now, there's a limit of supply, and that drives up the cost. It's basic economics. Waiting time for treatment in Canada varies from 14 to 30 weeks. Waiting lists for diagnostic procedures range from 2 to 24 weeks. Some patients die while waiting for treatment. And I've heard of cases of people in England, too, where they die before they get treatment. That's what's going to happen if you try to socialize medicine here.
So well, I think people are dying already here, aren't they? I mean, now let's make an apples-to-apples comparison.
It's expensive, but they get treated, and they don't have to wait as long. Yes, it's very expensive.
So the 40,000, the 40-plus thousand Americans without health care, none of those people are dying for lack of getting the health care?
No, they take out a loan. They do what they have to do. I mean, they go bankrupt
is what they do.
What's going bankrupt is our country. We're $54 trillion in debt. If you include all the entitlements and everything, $54 trillion. Where do you propose on getting the money to start up a health care system? Where does this come from?
Well,
are you going to print more?
Well, I think Mr. Edgar answered that question with the last caller. If you want to go back to it again.
Just reducing the military, that's not going to be enough.
Let me weigh in on this just one more time. I'm not going to agree with your listener on this issue. If you look at the way in which we've used the free market system, we've allowed lobbyists, special interests, to weigh in so heavily
they control the outcome of the
energy legislation,
yes,
particularly stopping alternative energy. They have weighed in on the healthcare industry, keeping the system the way it is. They've weighed in so hard on the defense industry that they have burdened our children and grandchildren. And you're suggesting that you use the free market system when the market isn't free. The market isn't competitive. The market is a monopoly. And so you and I are going to disagree on this, but one thing I hope we don't disagree, and that is we've got to get money out of politics. We got to get elected officials who go to Washington and go to the state capitals who can serve the public interest and not the special interest, so that when we go and discuss whether it's health care or energy or global warming or any foreign policy issue, the people sitting around the table making those decisions are thoughtful elected officials in both political parties who are serving the public interest and not the special interest. And that's the core mission of Common Cause.
Cost to get on the ballot for U.S. House in Florida, what the cost is? $10,000. You either have to get 4,000 signatures, which cost 10 cents a piece also to process, or pay $10,000 to get onto the ballot. That's a heinous crime. And,
take a look at the system that we installed in Maine, in Connecticut, in Arizona. Those three states now have for their state legislature a voluntary public financing system where average ordinary people can, in fact, get on the ballot. In Albuquerque, we put public financing in place, and as an African-American community organizer who got elected, he had no money at all. He now sits on city council because of the opportunity for public financing. I think we can fix the system even there in Florida that's broken.
Oh, that sounds like a wonderful solution, because I mean, that's when it comes to elections, obviously that's not the free market. You know, you can't apply those kind of rules there. It's a government, you know, action. But
Seth, I'd like your opinion. I'd like to point out another thing too. We touched on this earlier in this segment. Listen, there's no free ride. There's no free lunch. Okay,
all this
money that's going to the politicians is still coming from you.
Sure.
Okay. I wish I would hear the kind of passion from you about the money that comes out of your pocket when you buy these products. Okay. That's all inflated, conflated into the cost of these goods and services. Okay. And that money goes against your interest every single time.
We don't have any kind of standard on our money. We have, you know, we got taken off the gold standard, and that just accelerated inflation.
Hold on.
Let's created by the Fed.
Seth, I appreciate your passion, but let's try to stick on one point at a time. You know, there are hidden taxes all over the place. We talked about how corrupt the media was. Buy gas, you're paying for that corrupt media, whether you like it or not. By the way, I can't stand television. My TV doesn't even work, but I'm forced to pay for that junk when I buy a can of Coke or something like that, all right?
Sure.
It comes out of my pocket.
This
baseball player makes all that money? It's not my choice. I don't want to buy Reggie Jackson. I want to buy a can of Coke. But they force me to pay for this media that I don't like. And I think the point is that, you know, with the health care and everything else and the politicians and what's going to them, it's coming from you already anyway. And I think Bob Edgar has an excellent point. Let's try to clean up the corruption. Let's try to clean up the system. And then let's see how much everything costs. Is that fair to say, Bob?
That is fair to say, and, you know, let's continue this conversation and dialogue as we work to take this wave that's out there now for change and hope, and let's make sure that we work at every local level and every state level and every federal level to get public officials who will serve the common good and not the special interest.
I think it's always better when you keep things small And if you're going to do anything at all that's, you know, like that, I would keep it at a local level. I mean, churches used to be more involved in healthcare. They, you know, they used to be the ones in charge of hospitals and stuff. And if somebody couldn't afford it, you know, it was a charitable thing. And you know, but it should not be a top-heavy thing. I don't believe the federal government runs very many things well at all.
And by the way, I'm a United Methodist minister by background. I'm a clergy person by background, United Methodist minister. And the church's hospital system and healthcare system's all been bought out by private interest.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
And my godmother was a nun who ran a Catholic hospital upstate New York, and you know, they couldn't turn away anybody, and any religion was welcome in there as well. And you know, another thing here too is that you know, I think that we have a lot that we can agree on here, that, you know, there is all of this corruption that needs to be wrung out of the system and so forth. Right. Let me ask you something, Seth. If you know, I remember when I was a kid, my dad wanted to buy a car, and a couple of my uncles wanted to buy a car also. The three of them went down to a car dealer, and if they all – they said, look, we're going to buy three cars. The guy gave them a better price, okay? Do you have anything wrong with that conceptually? Is there anything wrong with all of us getting together and saying to the medical companies, hey, you know, we're all going to buy this drug from you. We all need this drug. We want a better price. Is there anything wrong with that, for instance? And I know that that's the kind of reform that they're talking
about. As long as you don't use the force of the government to force them to make that price lower, I have no problems with that. It's once you introduce government force, then I have a problem with it.
It sounds like the government force is being used to keep the doggone prices higher, if you ask me.
And I told you that I'm opposed to corporate welfare and corporate, you know, and corporate regulations as well, you know, when they use the government to overregulate as well. I'm opposed to that as well.
Seth, I love your passion. Thank you very much for calling, and please continue listening, and please call in again.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, great. Bob, we only got a couple of minutes left in the program. How'd you like your time tonight on INN World Report Radio?
Well, it's fun. It's always important to air some of these issues, even when we disagree. I think there's commonality in working to try to get the system that is broken fixed, and hopefully your listeners will work to fix the election system. I think people have a right to go into the ballot box and think their machine is going to work and their vote is going to count. And once they elect public officials, let's hold them accountable to serving that public interest. So the discussion's been fun, and I look forward to working with you in the future.
Well, Bob, that's what we try to do here in the alternative media. We try to, you know, present both sides. We try to sharpen steel against steel. We try to air everything out, because too many times through the media, the public is only given one side of the issue without the opportunity for rebuttal, like you've been so eloquently able to do with us tonight. And that's what's so sorely needed, and that's where the media has gone, one of the many ways, I think, that the media has gone terribly awry. So that's what the alternative media is all about, and we really appreciate you joining us tonight. We're going to have you on the television side, too, while you're here in Denver. Bob, we only got about a minute or so left. Why don't you tell everyone, if anyone's interested in what they heard tonight from Common Cause, where can they go to get some more information?
Well, best place to go is www.commoncause.org or www.reclaimtheflag.com. We're working hard on these issues, and you know, as I said early in the program, we need to work together for change and quality of life before it's too late. But have people take a look at our website and come on board, join Common Cause, work with groups that are working to bring change about in this decade.
Well, thank you very much, and that wraps it up for another segment of INN Weekend Report here on We the People Radio Network. We're going to be coming to you on the TV side for the rest of the week here in Denver, and then you know, we might take the holiday weekend off next week, folks. You may hear a rebroadcast, but we'll be back soon enough. Thank you very much, Bob Edgar, and thank you, folks, for listening. And let's keep working. Let's keep working. Let's get this alternative media out there. Let's get the information out there. We'll see you shortly.